So what we're going to do is sort of call that all together and then create the two-minute promo, having one of them voice it, and premiere it on one of the From the Vault radio series, so it's actually broadcast. And then we've already gotten fantastic feedback from the NFCV conference and the Youth Radio Conference, workshop overseers that said that, when they came in, the entire class was really engaged, and, that's really hard to do with teenagers who are tired and jet-lagged.
Brian, can I present an idea? You just said, when you said something before about the effect of the original voices, I have been working on a project with the Civil Liberties Union for a while, and Ira Glass had moved on to Washington, and then I tried. It got lost in the shuffle, but maybe it could be adapted. If we could go to the high schools and have an essay contest that was entitled, what I felt on first hearing the original words of Martin Luther King, Muhammad X, whoever it might be, and offer $1,000 prize. And what would happen is, this would be nationwide. We would provide these recordings, and the students would listen to them. They'd write an essay. There would be state winners and then national winners, and the winner would win a larger prize. What would happen is that there'd be a lot of pressure from the teachers to help the kids write essays for this. It'd be a lot of publicity. You get a lot of politicians and celebrities to help judge the essays at somewhere up the chain. And this would generate a lot of publicity about the archives itself and vying for the prizes. And it would be a focal point in each school for archive recognition. $1,000, let's say there were five low-level prize winners at $1,000 each, and then maybe one top prize winner, national, who would get $10,000. That would be worthy of a lot of press coverage. And during the year when these essays were being written, the archives would be in people's minds, and it would be a build-up, not like some major TV show, but certainly in our area it would be a pretty large build-up and collect a lot of publicity. I would be willing to fund certainly the first five $1,000 prizes on the lower level, and you can figure out what to do on the higher level.
I think that's a really exciting idea, I must say.
Did you get that, Melinda?
You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah. Steve, you're going to put that in writing, I hope.
I'm putting the highlight.
I think it's really, really exciting and potentially incredibly moving and great to bring the youth in. And yet, as you were talking, I was thinking about the administrative nightmare it is to do contests and awards.
They're very hard.
It is.
The trick
is,
and I went through this with the CLU, is to get the schools to absorb all of that, and they will, because what happens is that the teachers will now have a focal point. The students will be working towards a prize, it's almost like winning a scholarship on a low level, and they themselves, that you let the schools judge the winning essay from their school, and then you let regional school principals or whatever, however they set up their schools in each state, pick the winners from their state, and all they have to do, eventually, you'll be looking at maybe 48 essays. If you do it statewide, that would have to
be. Well, if this would be an idea that would be taken up, then all the mechanics would come later.
And, you know, this might be an idea that we should be discussing in the education work group.
It's both. It's fundraising, because ultimately it builds up publicity for the archives.
Right.
And it makes those, because you can, on first hearing the words of John F. Kennedy, on first hearing the words of who knows.
No, it's definitely worth discussing.
And you target different interest groups. I mean, on first hearing the words of some racist monster. I mean, it depends on who you want to target and how you construct the thing. And you might eventually be able to attract grants to fund these essay contests, because what they do is build awareness. They brainwash, in effect, the next generation, because we don't do that. Everything is always reactive. This way, you can seed the field and have children grow up not only hearing these things, but thinking about them and writing about them and winning awards for thinking about these historic personages. I mean, it's a long-term
project. May I say something?
Yeah.
I saw something the other day in the Houston Chronicle, and it was students doing political cartoons. it really gave me a lot of hope, because they were really on the mark with a lot of their things. This is something that we could also, you know, partner with. I mean, when it comes to essays, it could be a partnered with a newspaper, or it could be partnered with schools. Like, instead of cash prizes, it could be like scholarships or a free course in something. Or, I mean, I think that maybe we ought to have a subgroup to explore this.
But especially when you get politicians and celebrities to be judges, they love it because it gives them exposure and you know, a beneficial aspect to their whatever campaign they're doing, and it gets more publicity for the activity, and there'd be many who are willing to sign on to be judges, if not in reality, then at least to sit there and read a couple of essays.
Right. Well, if we can sort of like put, if you can sort of put that in writing, and so we can flesh it out and see what's, you know, assumed, and see what's assumed.
Better you than me.
And what we can, where we can go, because it actually does tie in with the idea of taking recordings of the civil rights movement and focusing on those to certain schools. I mean, it seems like logical that if those recordings and that package is already there in the school, then the contest, you know, at least the accessibility of the materials is already there. And if they're using him in the classroom, and if they all play Fannie Lou Hamer, then that's an easy contest to say, what do you think of Fannie Lou Hamer?
Right. Think about this, Cesar Chavez. Do you have any of his old recordings? And you go to a Latino community.
Sure.
That might be also a way to...
Yeah, this is Teresa. Let me say something, too. Someone earlier said, oh, well, we're most known in the peace and the civil rights movement. But we so rarely... think of ourselves in the labor frame of mind. I mean, we have a lot of recordings that have to do with labor, do we not? And the women's movement.
Mm-hmm.
People speaking out about...
There's endless material.
Yeah.
Endless.
Well,
yeah.
The idea is to get us all talking, because the idea that I just presented is very bare bones. But I see, as we start talking, it gets richer and richer and richer. And it may change even after a while, but the more we talk about it, the better we can shape it and make it into something that works.
Steve,
right.
would you kindly jot down just your initial thoughts on it in an email so that everyone else in the committee will also see it?
Is there an email list? I forgot. That one email will get to everybody on this list?
Yes,
for this group?
We have to. Were you added to the Yahoo Groups?
I don't know.
Email. It's archives.com@yahoogroups.com.
Archives.com.
Yeah, like committee, right. COM.
Right.
Archives. COM.
Okay. Yeah.
At yahoogroups.com.
I don't know if I was added to them, but I'll go look, and if they reject me, I'll cry.
You know, for some reason, Steve was not notified of this meeting. So
I apologize.
I asked him. I went through his email address with him, and apparently it's correct.
I found that it was my...
Oh, you did find
my mistake.
Okay.
It was buried in a folder that I forgot I had created.
Great.
My apologies. You did your job. I didn't do
so mine. You just need to get on the listserv then.
Right. Okay.
And if you know, Brian, if you decided to have a telephone conference with like you and me and maybe and Steve and anybody else that would like to specifically talk about this project, I'd be happy to be on that conference call and take minutes if you like.
Okay,
so
first
if you find that,
this
you
is
find
Bonnie,
that easier.
This is Bonnie. I'd love to be on it also. Great.
All right, well, let's hold on to that until we see something from Steve.
Okay.
The ball's in your court, Steve.
Thank you all.
But it's a great idea, really.
Great
I mean,
idea.
It was a bit,
and Melinda,
it was very fascinating.
If Melinda would put in the minutes that that Bonnie and Teresa would be happy to get together with Steve and Brian to be a work group. And what would we call the work group?
Contest USA.
Contest.
There you go. You're so bad.
Okay, contest.
Reality show.
Contest. Okay. All right, thank you.
Let me see. Boy, Brian, it's the Brian show tonight.
If we are ready to move on, it's always the Brian Show, isn't it? And I say that in the fondest way. If we are ready to move on, the next item is a discussion of a survey that you're considering.
Okay. I don't know whether we have so much to chew on already. I don't know if I want to jump into the survey thing. Let me tell you about two things, and then I can get to the survey thing. But because actually this leads into the survey thing, and which is the update on KPFA had some very heavy rains, which sort of flooded or made soggy a basement room. And with Bonnie's help and Addie's help and Susan Stone's help and staff members at KPFA, Vinnie Beecham and Amelia Gonzalez Micah Yoshida and a host of others, we rescued the original masters of the Patty Hearst SLA communique tape.
Yes,
no.
Yeah.
We rescued the original 1956 Ginsberg Howl, unedited. We rescued the entire collection of the San Francisco Film Festival from 1969 to 1980. We rescued a host of other things. And they're in the archives now, and I was just transferring
That whole women's department. Archive.
Right, the whole woman's department of historic tapes. So the point is, good news is that we did respond immediately to the crisis. The group worked. We had, you know, an archives committee member there. We had a consultant there. We had staff members there. And, you know, through a little bit of testing each other, we managed to get into the same room together and inventory what we were taking and making sure that we could now have something to go find extra funding to make sure it's digitized and shared with the world, including the San Francisco Film Festival, because it's, you know, their history. So I've already approached them about helping us restore the materials and digitize them for their 50th anniversary coming up in 2007. I was just listening to Ruth Gordon in 1973.
Oh, God.
And it was making me cry. It was so unbelievably amazing.
Wow.
She was already one of the smart life,
one of the smartest ladies I've heard in a long time.
Was it an excerpt from Harold and Maude?
Right. She talked a lot about Harold and Maude. I actually am a big fan of Harold and Maude, and she gave
me love that movie.
I did not know.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you, Thornton Wilder was a friend of hers early in her life, and he set up the press junket for Harold and Maude, and the studios threw it out, and they didn't use it. But he was alluding to the fact that Harold and Maude was like Endomeneo from Greek mythology, and young boy in love with the moon. Instead, they turned
Thornton
into a 20-year-old boy in love. Yeah, Thornton Wilder, the author of Our Town and The Skin of Our Teeth.
Holy cow!
Yeah, so we have a lot of history that is very unique and you know, worth rescuing. So we did it. Hooray. Congratulations
yes,
to everybody involved.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
Very, very
important.
And
it was like.
And it was very worth it. And it was dirty, dusty work. So now that leads into the survey thing. What sort of came about by coincidence and by us knowing each other and actually having people to call when something happens like this. But the other stations, the archivist, we don't know what's at this station. We don't know what you guys think about it. We don't know what you guys think you're going to do about it.
Like even BAI, we don't know that well.
Right. Like the staff at KPFA actually thought that they could take those tapes and put them on the machine and run them through and make a CD of it without any. And I'm not damning them, believe you me, because it's just something that they didn't know and they're not supposed to know. But they really thought that they didn't have any restoration processes that it would take, and we weren't really sure how damaged the materials were. So it was sort of very lucky that we found this out so we can apply it to the rest of the stations. How do we get information that gives us the information we need? How many tapes are in the station? What do they represent? You know, where are they sitting? Are they in good condition? What
can
we do
to
get
money? Who can be our contact?
Who's our contact? How can we actually inventory them so we can get money to save the important ones and or toss the ones that we don't like? I don't mean that. honestly, I don't. So I think the deal is to try to figure out a survey, even to the volunteer programmers, of like, what have you been doing with your programs? What do you plan to do with your programs? You know, obviously they don't have reel-to-reel tapes anymore. But, you know, we really need to have this sort of survey so that we can go to the right people. You know, Bob Fass, we really do need to rescue his archive. Nobody else is going to do it. Nobody's really that interested to give him the money that he requires. But we need to do something about the Bob Fasses all over Pacifica. Addie, do you want to jump in with that for a minute?
Well, to the extent that anybody wants to know about another huge project we have to do, which is that that just has to do with the age of this organization. That means that an enormous number of people who are really critical in the history of Pacifica and Pacifica programming, you know, are like reaching or past retirement age. And there are a lot of materials that never went to the archives that should. There, of course, everything should not go to the archives. But there's enormous amounts of material that people have been hanging on to that really would be wonderful to acquire for, you know, the future, for the historic future. And we really have to do that sometime around 5 years ago. But we certainly really have to hope that we can find the resources to do that sometime around now, because we really want that history and that history. You know, it's not like what people are doing now that is podcast or available on the web for streaming or whatever. It's stuff that's like under people's beds. And when they retire to Florida or Hawaii, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, we've lost it. We've lost it to history.
Can I ask a question? Because I've been thinking about this for a while. I mean, I know a lot of these people with beds. And
yes!
One day, or maybe sooner, universities are going to wake up and start making very large, handsome offers to these people that they won't be able to refuse. Before that happens, it's a good idea if Pacifica gets them. However, to set a precedent of buying things from these people would probably ignite a big bidding war and make a lot of noise and bad feeling.
There are a few things. I mean, that's true. It's also true that this stuff costs a lot of money to restore, and so people are not really eager to start a bidding war. I have not yet heard of one.
But people don't yet know what they're worth. Some people think they're priceless, I mean, meaning money priceless, and others think not. But my suggestion is that we approach these people, like Bob Fass, for example, and ask them to donate these things to Pacifica and then offer them a consulting contract over a period of 5 or 10 years to consult with the archives on restoring them, or whatever it is the archives might ever need to consult them on.
Okay, you know what? That sounds really smart. Why don't you write up some kind of a boilerplate and send it to us? Because that might be something that we can start with. That would be helpful.
Are you cutting me off?
Huh?
You don't want to talk about this anymore?
Steve,
okay.
May I say something?
Yes.
Okay. Whenever it gets into a discussion of contracts and possibly stating on the air, on the airwaves when we're streaming, not theirs, but on the stream.
I forgot we were streaming, first of all. I'll discuss.
It's good to not forget that.
But I think it's a brilliant idea, and I think as many, we kind of forget that some of these things should be taken to smaller groups and just mulled over and refined and then brought to the major group.
Right.
So
thank you for cautioning me. I have dealt with these situations before.
Meanwhile, the bidding war starts thanks to Steve Brown. Thank you very much.
It's okay. Anybody would love to do that. It's just not going to happen, and it's not happening. So don't worry about it.
Okay.
So do we need another subgroup?
Oh, boy.
I would appreciate it if we don't.
I
can't be in another group.
Brian, might I suggest that you, just to prevent us from the hell of more subgroups, can you email us just your thoughts that you've had so far about what kind of information you really think is at the heart of this that you're trying to get from the stations.
Okay.
And then all of us might, you know, just exchange some email with ideas about that. If I can, I'm sort of hesitant to do it since I really should be chairing, but I did want to speak just for a second about something that I think you said that was really important. If I had not done archival work over the past 20 years involving radio stations and museums, I wouldn't have a clue that many of the tapes from the 70s and on that I am in possession of cannot just be played on a machine.
Right.
That tapes have to be baked. They have to be really carefully worked with when we're trying to restore them. And that,
and a lot of them might be lost.
And, yeah, a lot of things are, it's simply not going to work, considering the conditions that many of us have kept tapes in. Both at the radio stations and in our homes.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we were to approach various programmers and the radio stations with that information foremost, it becomes people are less likely to get a bit defensive, as we all do, about the tapes that we have in our houses.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'll be performing a service for everybody, and we will be preventing people from, just because they don't have the knowledge of it, slapping those tapes onto their otaries and their radio stations. Mm-hmm. Because we're going to lose these tapes pretty soon if that happens too frequently.
We are. You're right.
So maybe, I guess what I'm thinking is that maybe it's some sort of preamble to this survey that explains that information to people, so that they understand where you're coming from.
Is there a time, a day, in other words, is there a number of years? In other words, if you send something to the station, listen, if you have old tapes, please don't play them.
It kind of depends. I'm sorry, I'll just break in and tell you. It kind of depends on what kind of tape it was.
Uh-huh.
It involves what was used as a lubricant on these tapes when they went to synthetic lubricants.
It's like the more expensive the tape, the worse off you are.
Yeah, really? Exactly. I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys, but you can't just say everything from 1974 on. It just doesn't work that way.
Well, it depends where you stored it.
Yeah,
and it depends, you know, a lot of that stuff stretches, right, Bonnie?
It depends on how it's wound.
Yeah.
It depends what it's wound on. It depends on if the tape is oxidizing.
If it's too dry, it cracks. If it's too damp, it stretches.
But that puts me in mind the putting beans up your nose story. If we tell people, you know, if you have these old tapes and you play them, that you might destroy them, or they might not. Oh, gee, you have that old tape. I wonder if mine is playable. And they go play them. Whereas, you know, if you tell a kid don't put beans up his nose,
he
never seems to do that. But as soon as you tell him not to do it, he's gonna try it. And that scares me a little bit. You know.
I don't think any of us have really forgotten that we own these tapes.
Well,
to tell you the truth.
Yeah, the thing is, is everybody clear on it, Bonnie? Do you want to reiterate that clearly?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Teresa?
I heard a voice, and I'm wondering if someone has joined us.
No, that was me again. I thought I dropped the phone, and I didn't know if I was on or not.
All right, thank you.
Well, I would think if Brian's going to go ahead and maybe write up his preliminary thoughts on this survey, maybe we can all kind of work on coming up with the information that we need to give to the stations. I mean, I'm not even sure. I suspect that it's important enough, considering that with all good intention, you know, people at KPFA were thinking that we could just run them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That I think it's important enough that even if it's just an informational memo that's going to go out to everybody, we do have to get kind of a primer on tapes and the restoration of them out to folks.
Well, there is the, you know, what you had just said before, though, is the thing that really is important, which I don't know whether everybody who's on the committee right now understands that we own those tapes.
Right.
They don't. They don't.
Yeah, I know. I'm a they, so...
I'm a they also,
and I know that you're aware of that.
Except I always wrote really good contracts.
I wouldn't say it in that way because it might get a lot of hackles up.
Yeah, but it's true. But it, I know that's why this is an issue. The
right.
You know, that's why it's an issue.
I don't contest the legal aspect at all. I make no comment on it. I'm just saying that if you bring it up, the tapes might disappear. Also,
yeah, I know, and they might disappear from history forever. And that is what is happening now. Some of those people have not wanted to let go of them, and therefore nobody is ever going to hear them. Ever.
Right.
Well, look, guys, I
covered by the Patriot Act? Maybe we can go
with that. Please stick up for programmers here.
Well, I think
for a
we
moment.
Have to assume.
Hey, we are programmers. We are programmers. Us who are saying that are programmers.
Wait
Don't
a minute.
Worry
I do
about
have
it.
Something. I do have something important to insert here, which I think is something that Addie taught me, which is something I've carried throughout the time from my first interview with Addie till now, and that's that we really do have this a sacred trust with the programmers that we're asking for the tapes to preserve them, not to make a buck off them, or not to own them, but to share the ownership of the idea of preservation, and that sacred trust really sort of like follows me wherever I go, and it sort of like answers the questions when I'm sort of confused with, you know, the Pacifica world. And I think that you guys, I need you guys to sort of like insert that into yourselves as you go into the stations and we do these surveys and the possible talking to the Bobfasses of the network to convince them that we're not the evil gods that are trying to take their tapes away from them. And this sort of happened on a very small scale with KPFA. They were worried that we were going to take the tapes and they'd never seen them again. And, you know, and that's not really our intention. So that's all I had to say about that. And thank you, Addie, for teaching me that.
Yes. Yes. Instead, they were thinking they'd play them on, like, Mother's Day, and they'd be surprised when they didn't play.
Yeah, it's purely a physical concern with
mm-hmm.
reel-to-reel tape.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if programmers were to understand that we might not be capable ourselves in our homes of baking tapes and restoring them properly, but if we knew that somewhere along the path we were going to be able to have a copy of our work
right.
once these tapes have been restored, then I think that we all sleep a little more comfortably.
And if we do mutual rights or whatever... You know.
Stored with the name of the programmer forever stamped on those CDs that get distributed and sent to radio stations all over the world for the next 100 years. That's certainly.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, I've always done mutual non-exclusive rights, and I don't see why we shouldn't keep that.
All right, so what next?
Okay.
This is
wait,
Teresa.
Not much. Not
May
much.
I,
Teresa,
may,
good.
I have not concentrated totally on the last 10 minutes of discussion, but thank you.
Okay, who's in for a severe lashing?
Did we reach a conclusion on this subject?
Yes, Brian's
that
gonna
Brian
write
is
something.
Going to write up something to all of us.
Brian has more work
about his ideas about this proposed survey,
mm-hmm.
and that we can then discuss them, think about them, and obviously we will be continuing this on the next committee call.
Yes, I would somehow like us to be very proactive about encouraging programmers to contribute and help them. I think that we have to assume good intentions, and we have to assume that people want to share and want to help archive. They're just really, really busy. They don't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they have some reticence. I mean, you know, even mine, you know, whenever I give something, I'm thinking, well, are they really going to appreciate it the way I appreciate it? So I think if we phrase it right,
mm-hmm.
That we can make some headway on that. So yeah, I beg people not to be too discouraged, like, or jaded, like Steve Brown, and think that people are going to take it out and when they hear things like that, they're going to hoard it or try it themselves, or try to stay a little bit positive about
the issues with the historical media and what's being produced now are very different. Mm-hmm. But people who are producing things now and making them available to people don't realize that they're not being archived and they might vanish. Mm-hmm. And that they can't preserve the integrity of the pieces. And that's a whole nother thing.
Well, I hope
right now what I'm concerned about is the stuff that we're going to lose physically.
Tapes, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there are
what
two
about
issues.
CDs?
So there are two issues. One
CDs
is...
sucks.
No, I'm serious. They deteriorate easily.
Yeah, yeah.
CDs do?
Yeah.
Really?
That's why we do two different stocks, and you have to be really, really careful about the procedure. And if you look at the ones that we made 10 years ago, I mean, I don't mean Pacific. I mean all of us in audio. Some of them don't really play now on the equipment we've got today. So,
it's like putting the CD in and it says that there's no disc in there, and you know damn well you put the disc in there.
Yeah,
you see that.
You know that you play, and you know that you played it on your other machine, but it's not fitting in your
computer.
But
doesn't play on this one.
TOC error, and it chills down your spine.
Yep.
You make a lot of money by advertising a 100-year CD.
Good. You can advertise anything.
Well, I think Steve missed his goal. I mean, we discussed this last year in a meeting at length, and I think that people who have not been on this committee missed that whole discussion. So it's
a constant
education.
Right. Is there a fast way to do that?
Hey, I have an idea.
What?
And maybe this is actually, Steve, this might be down your road. When we were thinking about the survey, I was thinking about almost like a PSA brochure, like a warning, caution signs for programmers about their tapes. Mm-hmm. Hang on just a second.
If I misspoke before, I just wanted to agree with you, Teresa, that in general, I think that people will welcome the information, and I think that there is a way to have everybody be happy here in this situation, and I think in general, everybody, whether it's programmers or radio stations or the archives, in the end, wants to save this audio material.
And make it available.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and nobody wants to rip anyone else off.
No, I know.
You know?
Yep.
So,
shall we move on with the info that Brian has taken on another project and is going to email us about this?
Sure. Hey,
wait,
let's give Brian more work.
I just held on for like 5 seconds. What happened?
Oh, nothing. We gave you
We're
a couple more projects.
We're just looking for something else for you to do.
Okay.
We're giving you more sign-ups.
All right. All right, so here's... now, this isn't... I have to say this because I'm not sure if it's on the agenda, but if I don't say it, then I'll be mad. Myself. So fromthevaultradio.org
is the
website for our new series. Fromthevaultradio.org. And we need volunteers to do a various host of things, which some of you might want to do.
Research
projects, which I think I did see that from Melinda, which is why I'm bringing it up. I hope that you're saying that you'll volunteer to do some research for our show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
So if you go there, you'll look at the last four shows, and there really are very eclectic subject matters. And Christopher, in that documentary format, needs somebody to just look up on Google, look up this name and find out who he is, or make sure that the birth date is right, or make sure of the, this.
Yeah, look up things you're even sure of.
Oh, I'll look to Google.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Well, look it up where, go to your library and do it in hard copy.
Okay.
And get the
make
library.
Sure you know where Google gets you.
Right. So, look at the fromthevaultradio.org. We're doing the shows in a pilot fashion right now and working with National Office to do a PR campaign to launch and premiere it officially in June or July.
So, you know, we're excited. We've gotten great feedback from affiliate stations. I think
the first shows are beautiful. They're beautiful.
Thanks, Addie. There are six affiliates that are going to be carrying the series already in Bellevue, Washington, Olympia, Washington, Goddard College in Vermont, Anchorage, Alaska, Tampa, Florida, and Atlanta, I believe.
And Brian, don't forget Mount Vernon, Washington.
And I was going to say, and RIPS Station as well, in Mount Vernon, Washington. So actually, you know, the archives is actually doing the work and making the recordings that we're doing the preservation work on accessible. And that's the other exciting thing, is that Christopher Sprinkle, who's doing all this documentary research and pulling, you know, seven reel-to-reel tapes to put into a one-half-hour documentary about a subject, really is doing the preservation, the right kind of baking and transferring of these tapes. So we can actually start, like, once the show is launched and sort of, like, rolling, we can actually go to preservation grant money to fund the show, and we also can get programming grant money to fund the show. So we actually are doing multiple tasking by doing this show, so we appreciate any support you can get. Find out, you know, I know KPFT is broadcasting it. I know WBAI is broadcasting it. The pilots, I think, on Fridays in the public affairs arena. DC is planning to broadcast a half-hour weekly. Not sure about A and not sure about K. But anyway, it's looking good, looking strong, and as Addie said, I'm very proud of the product that Christopher's putting out. And he does have some volunteers, but we need more.
Well, how far out do you have the schedules?
I think just the last four are up. We don't have anything posted as to what subjects we're going to be doing coming up. But
would be very useful if we can possibly project it so we could tell people in advance what's going to be happening, so they
sure.
can tell their friends and tune in.
When you say volunteers, Brian, what kind of people are you talking about?
In other words, like, you know, for a researcher, like you would say, you know, Brian and Christopher, I have, you know, 3 hours of time this week. You know, can I help you? And we'd say, well, we're working on Bertolt Brecht this week, and we need to find out if Bertolt Brecht was in California in April of 73. And then you would go do some research, and you would come back with the answer or some other answer.
Or who is this person? Like it says here, you know, Charles. I went to visit Charles. Who is Charles?
It's Charles.
Well, you know, it's just
Charles
like...
DeGaulle?
Who knows?
When you listen to the raw materials, you're always and you're trying to sort of like create a narrative and create, you know, a half-hour idea of what you're doing in documentary. You really do have to sort of support whatever is said that isn't plain. You know,
so
you can't say like I met Charles and not
right.
justify who Charles is, whether because if it's not important enough to say who he is, then it shouldn't be there in the first place, and we would have edited it.
Are you only looking for volunteers on the exalted level of us people on the committee, or would you
no, anybody.
Volunteers? Okay, so
anybody who doesn't take more work than they're worth.
Right.
Right.
Okay. So
so we're looking for like web support who can like work with, you know, because I think it's a blog website that Christopher could, you know, give somebody some text or something that they could do something with. And that's in his plan.
It just says that you're looking for volunteers to help with scheduling, research, digitizing, transcribing,
yes.
website support, and more.
Ultimately,
yeah.
Ultimately, it's a product that goes out over the air called From the Vault, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So you have a very, very precious payment ability. You can offer these people, without being crass about it, some sort of recognition, either as a, I don't know, assistant producer or whatever. You have to be able to name them so that they can feel that they have some credit. And you know, it's like when you see a movie, even the
it depends how much
gaffer.
They do.
Yeah,
yes,
of
depends.
Course.
Right.
And a lot of people are not worth it.
No, but you have to ask for the kind of people you want, of course.
Of course, and then you have
right.
to say they are.
I think we have included them, and I think we have included them in the credits.
The archives are more than generous.
Right. But
no problem.
But let them know that. I mean, that's putting the carrot out in front. You know, if you want something, you have to hold out payment, even though the payment is not of a monetary kind.
Whatever it takes for you to get us the right people, we'll give you.
Right.
I got to be right.
They do good work.
Or you're going to have to answer to me.
I work free.
Okay.
But, you know, another thing that really is important is we need to think of innovative ways to tell the public when this is going to be on the air.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank
you. So they can plan. You know, we could have classes that tuned in to hear
right.
these things.
Yes.
We could have people that, you know, take lunch breaks together if they thought that they would
mm-hmm.
be hearing an excerpt from War and Peace, or, you know, if they would be hearing so-and-so talking about Harold and Maude, or, you know, they could, you know, we could have, you know, people, you know, if we, I think that as important
George,
as getting valuable information on the air is telling people in advance, so through word of mouth or whatever, large groups of people can tune in because this is the only place you can hear that.
Well, some of these things are things we can deal with, and some of them are things that have to do with programming that we can't. Because actually the times that we've gotten the best responses in, you know, history on extremely expensive programming, it's been because it's been played multiple times on every station.
Makes sense.
And so, you know, I don't know if we're in a position to, I just don't know where all the stations are relative to that, but that's really how you get the audience, is you keep playing it over. So, you know, I don't know if we're in a position at all to do that, but, you know, to go ahead and put together as good a promotion team as possible is fabulous, especially if it doesn't cost out of pocket, because that's a really hard place to find funds. A hard thing to find funds for.
Right.
If anybody here wants to help, you know, help find those funds, that's really good.
Well, if you can have a theme for these things. For example, all the people who have, Norman Mailer has left the building, but you can still hear him on WWW because of the archive. You know, and that could be a tag on every single, and you can keep putting those things in tiny little ads at the bottom, you know, in front pages of newspapers. Buy those little ads for nothing, or in classified section. And it's a teaser head that will go every time you have a new program coming up, find somebody who's going to be on it and say, so-and-so has left the building, literally. But you can still hear his voice on the so-and-so program, the original
voice. Well, that's sweet. You know, what we need then is we need someone to manage all that promotion, to do it with the archives and to have the funding, although it's small. We don't have the money, so yeah, great.
So let me tell you that there's another level of, you know, From the Vault being sort of like launched in June, July, that, you know, there is a new publicity work group committee, something of national office, which is Greg Guma, myself, Phil Osageda, Ursula Rudenberg, who's the affiliates coordinator, Donna Platt, KPFT development director, and one other person that I'm forgetting, but, you know, they're sort of like, it was created, but it has still yet to convene. But, you know, I think they're going to try to use, dealing with national programming and publicity for the network. And I think that I'm presenting this as a model to create a template of how to approach, you know, the launch of a new radio series. We have some time with Riptide.
A new national radio series? You are talking?
Yes. So if we have that in mind, you know, if we have, you know, a number of affiliates and a number of Pacifica stations, it really is, you know, has the chops to be a national radio series. So why not try it? That's my call. And, you know, Phil and Greg and them seem to, you know, have a good positive response to that. So I think that we'll be having some level of working with Riptide Communications and with this work group to, you know, to look at From the Vault. So, you know, we'll share those ideas with you guys, and anything you guys have to brainstorm, I'll take to them and see how that works.
I've got a thought.
Just knowing how our schedules are and how overworked everybody is, I wonder if you could include, when you are uploading these programs for everybody, a 45-second promo for each of the shows,
yes,
individual stations could tag with what time they are in fact going to run it.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think that the first and second one we did do the promos that went with it. I think the third and fourth we haven't done those because we can't get the stations to give us the times of the thing. So actually, we put together a generic one that left.
You don't need the times.
Right, we did a generic one that left the music bed for them to put the times in.
Right.
So actually, it's already been done.
Great. Cool.
But I don't know. If
I do think those are helpful. And honestly, I think you may already do this, but I think a short paragraph about what each show is can certainly make getting live reads about the show coming up on the air a lot quicker. As much as you want to think that whoever the program coordinator or whomever the person is that this falls on at each of the stations has the time to listen to the show to write a few lines about it that make sense, you're wrong. And what happens is you don't end up with your show promoted.
Well, you know, Bonnie, they're already providing that. I mean, I'm looking at a couple of the mails right now, and I'm seeing a paragraph. For instance, the one that's out now, at number two, I mean, there's a paragraph of at least seven sentences long about what the show is about. I would say it's almost, if you add some music, it's a full minute. Pardon?
Where's that?
Yep.
It's on an email on the, actually, I'm looking at the Pacifica Announce one, which I don't know if you guys are all on that.
Right, those notices go to the affiliate stations, to the general managers, program directors, and a few select people that I thought should have it, like Kathy Davis at WBAI, Janet Coleman at WBAI, think Vinny. So it's in their hands. I just don't know if they know that that's what they take to put to the board op to use as the promo.
Yeah, but wouldn't this be the same
thing? My idol in number two.
What's the title on it?
Ray Hill.
Pardon me?
Yeah, Ray Hill is doing number two.
My idol.
These are Pacifica Announced from the Vault. It's a series of emails. PAC Archive is also a list that has these on them.
All right, I'm looking at...
from PAC Archive.
I'm looking at two of them right now.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the one-hour pilot program and the one remixed. I can send these to Melinda so she can see them.
Sure.
I'm looking at them.
Now, Brian, aren't you putting the same text in the audio port box in the description?
Yes. Okay. Sir, yes, the audio port has the sentences, too.
Right.
I got the web page.
Thanks, Bonnie. Look, I did it, and I didn't even know it.
It's a very nice web page.
It is really important to have.
But with all of that, I still can't tell you if the board ops get it.
It just depends on the station, Brian. I mean, I could tell you about one station, but I can't tell you about any of the others.
Sure.
Yeah. That's where you guys come in handy. You can find out if the board ops are getting these things.
Hey, Brian.
Yes,
I have a suggestion as far as, there's one thing that I usually get real dirty looks, and everybody be prepared to give them to me, okay? As far as promotion, there is another network we could possibly consider maybe seeing if maybe Brian could be interviewed by, like, say, Dr. Maddow.
Who?
Rachel Maddow.
Dr. Maddow.
Okay.
Why don't we
being interviewed.
Well, I mean, hey, I've heard Amy Goodman on the Majority Report. They love her. They absolutely adore. In fact, they plug Democracy Now constantly. Why shouldn't I would think that possibly? I mean, granted, I mean, hey, Air America's commercial.
Look, why aim higher? Get him on the Daily Show. You know. Why not?
Come on! They're doing pretty good. They're doing pretty good, and
why
they
not?
Seem to really.
Why not? If they get them, you've got Bertolt Brecht. I mean, he's got stories to tell.
Yeah, and they do plug progressive books and
all the time.
Well,
if you guys want to get us a development person, that's really a great idea.
It's a really good idea.
We need PR and we need development.
Yeah,
our listeners would
go on this Daily Show with me, and we can talk about rescuing her from LA Communique.
You know, it is like so not that anyone's against it.
So
it's
many of
that
our
the
listeners
position has
to
not
America.
Been funded.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
but like for example, Dr. Maddow was the one.
Yeah, but like for example, the position has not been funded. It's really a great idea. It's all great ideas.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got a lot of bells, but no cats to hang them on.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I got two of them right here. One of whom's a kitten. She needs it.
Well, let me say this. I think it's very important. This is a valuable program, and I'm sure that that Brian is talking to not only his staff there at the archives and people on the national staff about, you know, what's the best way to promote these things. And if you think that people on this committee could possibly be of assistance in promoting, coming up with ideas, then we should probably have a separate meeting that's not streamed. Maybe you don't want another meeting, Brian. Maybe you think it's good enough without us.
No, I understand the value of being not streamed when you can talk more candidly.
No, and that's really a good idea. It's just
Brian,
it also needs to be... it ends up with as management issue somewhere that ends up with Brian. So.
Yep. This is Bonnie.
Hi.
Brian, since the group that you were just talking about through the national office has not yet met, it sort of makes sense to me that we wait till that group has convened. Because
I wrote to Jill today about it.
Isn't that one of the... arms, isn't this one of the things that they will be considering?
Thank you, Bonnie.
So
yeah, I mean, like, in my
sense,
right, in my sense is if we put it on them, then the funding comes from them, not
mm-hmm.
from me, and I don't have to mm-hmm. worry about it. But I've already have, like, 20 hours of credit with Riptide Communications, which is a major PR firm that's willing to work on this project.
And is that part
sort
of the
like,
issue
you
with
guys, what do you
is
want
that part
from
of the
me?
Julia thing or the Julia thing is
no,
kind of
no,
really complicated.
No,
huh?
Riptide Communications we used for the December Fun Drive Day, but they came so late in the game after having to fire the other PR person that didn't do the work that we had 20 hours left over. So they can, you know, be as essential as writing the press release and distributing it to their communications professional communications. Distribution press list, both in print and, you know, news media. Maybe the Daily Show would get their notice.
And if there's anyone on this committee, when you sit down with these other people, that you would like to join that conversation, just feel
reach
free
out.
To call us. I mean, some of us would love to help brainstorm, and some of us have good ideas. So,
okay, terrific.
Hey guys, we're over two hours at this point.
Are we done?
So might we wrap up? We do have two small items, and I'd like to move into them.
Well,
we
I've got my second win. I can go ahead for another 2 minutes, easy.
Okay, he's with us. Two more minutes. Okay, minute one is going to be taken up with discussing meeting date and times. I assume that we are sticking other than if we decide that there is need to meet more frequently, but we're going to stick with each month. I know that a member of our committee can never meet on Tuesdays.
Kalonji?
Yeah, Kalonji can't meet on Tuesdays. I'm sort of shuddering here to come up with a date that works for everybody because that doesn't exist. But
the programming committee was thinking of meeting on third Mondays.
Correct.
So maybe a second Monday or something. Let me go. I'm going to go to KPFTX to see if any other
okay, great.
Committees are meeting on certain days that I can. I think elections meets on Sunday, don't they, Melinda?
Pretty much.
All right, I'm there. Hold on. Here we go. Oops. Cancer. Uh-oh, I'm getting a error notice here. Something's not linking correctly. Are you getting it?
The second Monday in June would be the 12th. This is Madeline.
Judy, yes. 12?
I'm not sure how many people we have left on this call. Is anyone unavailable if we were to do it on the second Monday?
In June.
Talking about the 12th?
Yeah.
I think that's the week after the P&B, right?
Mm-hmm.
P&B is second, third, and fourth. It would be the
that
Monday
week,
after.
Well, let's see. Then there's Monday the 5th. And
if the PMB is that weekend before, I would not
right.
suggest having a committee meeting the next night.
No. The PMB is the third, fourth,
second, third, fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah. I, as the prospective secretary, my grades are due on the 13th.
Okay.
So the 12th is not ideal for me. Because
right.
I could be working late at school that night. That's the one.
Can we do it in late June? Because I sure would like to take a vacation sometime this year.
Okay.
Who?
What about?
This is Brian. You guys can meet without me, of course.
We could.
No.
Yeah. But we don't want to.
No.
I was going to say you wouldn't get any work done, but
no.
you can meet.
Okay. Yeah, and it would all be your assignment afterwards.
Well,
the
right.
Case fund
right.
drive is until the 25th. So
you're
there's Monday the 26th.
Wait, of June?
Uh-huh. Well, Brian was saying maybe late June. I don't know if we want to wait that long.
Talking about the 23rd?
26th is a Monday in June.
Oh, I'm sorry, the
26th,
26th, 26th, 26th, 19th
yeah.
to 26th. Well, let
me say
this.
Okay,
I think that meeting in late June is not a bad idea if all of the subgroups meet and actually conduct their business.
Well, we're going to have to
yeah.
figure out what we're doing about the NEH way before that.
Right.
Right.
But
well,
we're,
okay.
we don't
so,
need
yeah,
the committee
let's do
to
that.
Decide that.
Right. And then I think if worse comes to worse, we can always, like, email committee
right.
members if something
right.
happens or something comes up that a decision needs to be made or, you know,
okay.
people need to be included on it. Sounds like we're sort of, like, segmenting out and actually doing work rather than sitting as a
right.
governing voting board, which I
which is good.
Am very
yeah.
happy about.
right.
yes.
So we're penciling in the 26th of June?
Any objection?
I thought it was the 19th, but okay, the 26th.
19th is a program committee.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So we're looking
then,
at the 26th?
Bonnie, did you get on KPFTX?
I can't get to the link.
The link is telling me connection failed.
Will it go through to the link, though?
There's no other Mondays on the schedule,
okay.
at least not listed on KPFTX.
You mean there's no meetings listed?
No meetings
Monday.
On a Monday, right.
All right. So anybody got a problem with June 26th? Going once?
No.
Going twice?
And,
let's call it 5:15 on Monday the 26th.
Okay. And the next, it looks like the next 5:15 education.
5:15 California time?
5:15
yes.
Pacific.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the next education subcommittee meeting.
We had tentatively spoken about the 25th.
Right. The 25th.
Of May.
Yeah. And there's nobody really left except Bonnie, Brian, and me. Madeline,
yeah.
We were going to see if anybody had objections to 6 o'clock. So maybe we'll just send that time around because that's when we met last.
I think that will be fine. I will not
okay.
be with you on the 25th in that I'm on the air on Thursday. So, So Thursdays won't happen for me. But that's fine because I
who's
was
the,
just
who's
kind
the
of
for me? Is Bonnie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Bonnie mm-hmm. is on Thursday. We love
oh,
her
right.
show. We're not going to let her go.
Well, that's right. We met on a Friday last time. So,
It's fine. I really just
yeah.
was
we'll catch you next time.
Doing it in the spirit of support to be there on the first work group meeting.
Yes. Okay. I'm going to put in my calendar not Bonnie this time by the 25th.
All right. So the work group is what time on the 25th?
I think they were going to say 6.
Yeah.
6 West
Coast Pacific.
Yeah.
yeah.
So that's 9 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was good last time. We had a one-hour meeting, and it was very productive.
Okay.
Where's Brian? I don't know.
I'm here.
Is that... Hey. Sorry. You okay with that, Brian?
One more tiny thing.
I did hear it. Thank you.
And yeah. I'm assuming that the other, that the there's someone that's going to convene the, what's it called?
The Capital Campaign?
Capital
Campaign.
Yeah,
that's Don White.
And what was the other group we just set up?
So, the Education and Library?
No, we set up a third group.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we've all lost our minds.
It was the Contest USA?
Oh, Contest USA. I love that one.
So, Brian, do you want to convene that as... Because you're getting something together, or am I wrong? Or is it
yes, I'm writing thoughts first.
Okay, Steve, are you writing something down or putting something down?
Steve is going to write down.
Yes, I'm going to write the essay, the original.
The framework.
The Archives Original Voices Essay Contest.
Okay. All right, well, call me when you get that meeting together.
Okay.
Me too.
And Steve is the one that's doing that?
Well, Steve has to write something first, and then we're going to convene, right?
All right. Okay.
Okay.
What else do we need to do?
Just, Brian, that small item about the affiliates coordinator.
Oh, okay. So the affiliates coordinator, Ursula Rudenberg, the archives serves the affiliates, serves the archives, and we really, there's two committees, and, Teresa Allen is on both affiliates and archives committee. And sees the value of having Ursula come join our committee meeting at times and me join the affiliates committee meeting at times. And I think, Teresa had expressed to Bonnie to have Ursula come on this evening, but I wasn't quite sure where it would fit on the agenda and what specifically Ursula would want to say or talk about or, how would we approach it. So I sort of advised that we talk about it and, hear from Teresa and then try to figure out what goes on the agenda to not waste Ursula's time or our time in sort of just saying hello. So that's it. Teresa, if you have any feedback, or Bonnie, that's fine with me.
Well, I know that Ursula's very, very active on, let me pull this up, on Pacifica Announce and AFPAC and is constantly and having tech meetings with affiliates on the East Coast and the West Coast, and she has so much contact with affiliates, and I was hoping that she can constantly be promoting the archives, use of the archives. So I thought that, and vice versa, and that in your work, Brian, you can also be... There are times when you might actually be seeing potential for an archive, for a radio station to affiliate.
Mm-hmm.
And if there are any times in our work where the archives and the affiliates cross paths or somehow need to be woven in, I'm hoping that collaboratively, especially if I think that it might have an exponential return.
Right, I agree. I think at NFCB, Ursula and I sat down and we had some ideas about resolution and the archives offering her some materials to offer to potential stations rather than servicing the stations that are already affiliates. So I'm looking forward to, hashing out some of those and fleshing out some of those ideas and how to market it. And, of course, it's all about the funding. Ursula doesn't have the funds to do so much as, buy some nice flowers for a table when she goes to NFCB. I've offered some help in that area. But also it's all about national office, sort of controlling some of the money and the archives having the affiliates contract money in our budget. Certainly been supportive of the affiliates program in every board report and everywhere I go and, even at the affiliates meeting. So I support the work that Ursula and Pete are doing, and I just want to be able to collaborate more, but I also don't want national office to hold onto the purse strings and let the affiliates and the archives fight over every dollar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't want to sound too negative about it, but
and I've said, I hope you guys know that I say that the affiliates need those resources. Just don't take it out of our pocket.
Well, I think there will be an exponential return. Let me just say this. Here's an example. When Ursula and I were in Houston, we took a drive to about 5 different stations. And like KNON is already affiliated. We didn't go to that one, but Roy Campanella went to that one and talked to them and gave them some premiums. Maybe those premiums help them imagine how the Pacifica programming would be beneficial to them. And while we were at KEOS, they have in College Station, for example, they have a wonderful, wonderful Beatles show every month. No, every week, I guess. Every week, just Beatles. And I thought, we have this wonderful archives premium that would fit so well as a premium with the show. Why not have Brian contact them to possibly pitch during this show and give this premium and have all of the inside stories about how we got this premium? I think that Brian, for an affiliate, could be as wonderful a person to help with a pledge drive as Amy Goodman is, because there are marvelous stories that would fit with some of these premiums that people can really relate to. And so we need to, I think, when we're talking about various archives materials, it would be beneficial, I think, at times for Ursula to say, sounds like this specific affiliate that I'm working with, they could use this, I should approach them with this from the Vault program.
Uh-huh.
Or they could probably use Brian's services in pitching or something. There are many areas where we could fit. I don't want to take up anybody's time, but we need to be thinking this way, that together as a team, archives and affiliates can be really have phenomenal returns for everybody's benefit.
Right. In fact, I wrote Pete and Ursula the other day about the From the Vault series and the idea of promotions, and asked for their suggestions on PacificaNetwork.org. How does the show fit with that, and what kind of content do they need? And also, what are their ideas about promotions and how the From the Vault series can help them in what they do? I think it can.
Yeah, especially during pledge drives.
Yeah.
I hate to pimp you.
Oh,
Brian,
I like
you.
Brian,
you could be a marvelous contribution or addition to any affiliate that asks for your services.
Well, I'm working on it. Like I said, we're May 9th. I'll be on the Goddard College Station with Bon Kelly for 90 minutes.
Cool.
I mean, we did KGNU for 3 hours. About 2 weeks ago, I guess it was. Maybe it was even before the last meeting of this committee. But we, did about $1,000 or so for them on the last.
Did you set a record last year with that Beatles?
We did. With the John Lennon premium, maybe, or the Bob Dylan premium. But I will say the John Lennon documentary that we've preserved through the grant, the NEA grant, worked with John Wiener, the producer. I sent the documentary to Yoko Ono, and just 2 days ago got a letter from her attorney that gave us permission to use it as a premium for fundraising for the archives. And Yoko Ono has given us permission to broadcast it and use it, and has actually even said that she doesn't own it, we do.
Ooh.
But she was very impressed with the fact that I came to her, with the integrity of not wanting to do anything with that without her permission, because of the sensitivity of what he was saying politically. And so I believe that I have Yoko Ono as somebody who I can actually call to help us with fundraising. That would be called the major donor.
Oh, man. Hey, guess what? You ought to tell her, Brian.
one of our stations actually, she actually showed art in.
I know. She actually had a program on WBAI in the 60s, and I have
no,
one
but she
programs.
Actually did an art exhibit at KPFT.
Oh, well, see, but there you go.
I've heard Dwayne mention that during Fun Drive, that in the area where we have our boardroom, I mean our main meeting room in there, that's where she showed some paintings.
Oh, that's cool.
And the fun thing is, the building itself, the house, which is 80 years old, was purchased from the grand. It was originally built by the grandfather of James Baker. Isn't that great?
I think that's terrible.
No, I think it's wonderful. The idea of Yoko Ono trying to sell paintings in a huge room in a house built by. I mean, the total irreverence is precious.
Anyway, perhaps Bonnie, you should give some thought to the agenda next time at our next meeting, and whether there's a specific portion of the program where it would be of value to have Ursula on.
And maybe, Brian, you and I can discuss that.
Okay.
As we get closer to an agenda.
You know, and we'll talk to Ursula, too, you know, and invite
yeah.
her on and figure out what she wants to do and how she wants to address you guys and what you want.
Great.
Okie doke.
I would be happy to hear a motion to adjourn.
10:45 Eastern Standard Time, so
yeah.
I move that we adjourn.
Okay.
Put that in the
I
minutes.
I second it.
It's in the minutes.
Objection, or can we get off this call?
Hi, guys.
Very interesting.
Have a good evening, everybody.
Thank
you.
Everybody.
Thanks for everything.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Hey,
night.
Nice to be on here. See you. Good night.
Hey, Brian, get back with me about that volunteering, okay?